Well, greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on sea, energy, agriculture when we come back. Hey, let me ask you this. What do you think's wrong with the Ten Commandments? Because it's pretty obvious that something is wrong with the Ten Commandments because they've been banned from our public schools. They're banned from our public institutions. And they're banned from our national consciousness. Now, instead of these 10 simple, time-tested laws, we see the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto. They're teaching these 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in our public schools, our public institutions, and we've made them a part of our national psyche. Now, this is a pretty radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years. Are you aware, for instance, that your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent, but your daughter can have an abortion arranged through that same public school nurse without even your knowledge, much less your consent? Now, that's why I contend that the solution to this kind of moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. You know, our founding fathers at the Constitutional Convention in 1787 practiced and advocated the Ten Commandments, and they even put 22 principles of that law into our federal Constitution. And there's at least one school left in America that still teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, and all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the penalties and the 33 benefits for their observance. Now, every law has a penalty. And we don't have to know what the penalty is to suffer from its effects. So whether we call this the Mosaic Law, the Law of God, the Common Law, or Natural Law, or Karma, or something else, it's automatic and it works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which just happen to be the natural penalties for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order our free General Law CD package first. That's the place to start. It doesn't cost anything. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational. It's informative. It's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the archives page, and you can download that free General Law CD package right there off of our website. That's georgegordon.org. All right, we've been talking about this thing of Sea, Energy, Agriculture. It's a book written by Maynard Murray, and it's put out by Acres USA. So I gave you the name and number here of Acres three or four times. See if I can do it one more time here for you before we forget it. Acres USA, their phone number is 1-800-355-5513. First thing I'd recommend is that you get a subscription to the Acres USA newspaper. It's a periodical, a monthly periodical. I think it's about $30 or $35. You can also go to their website. It's www.acresusa.com. That Acres USA is all one word, and that's www.acresusa.com. Now, the book itself, I don't know what the price is, probably $10, $15, something like that, 100 pages of material, which covers the mineral deficiencies in our food and where to get them, where to replace those in the soil. Now, there's a controversy between the organic farmers and the inorganic farmers. I set that up for you in the last program, and I said we take a look in the scripture, and I'm going to show you that there is a third factor here. The inorganic farmer says the chemical farmer is a nut. The chemical farmer says that the inorganic farmer is a faddist. And the truth of the matter is that we've got a theory and practice here. Both of them are in error. Both. And there's a third factor called the scripture that comes into play. And I said, we'll take a look at this thing. Does the scripture advocate inorganic or organic farming? And the answer is it's organic farming. But organic farming that's something different than is being practiced. And it doesn't necessarily contradict the inorganic farmer putting chemicals on his soil, surprisingly, or as surprising as that might sound. But Murray hit the nail on the head when he said that what's going on is that there is a misunderstanding between these two camps, and in the meantime, our soil is being depleted. He said it's true that organic farming imparts some very desirable properties to the soil, and that soil texture is often improved, and the nutrients in an organically fertilized soil are good. That plants grown with organic fertilizers have good nutritional value and perhaps superior taste, which is all true. Now, when you compare those with foods grown under some forms of chemical fertilizers, the organic are superior. that the building of microscopic life in the soil is beneficial to the crops grown. That's true. That aeration and the supply of oxygen to the plant roots is good in organic farming. All of those are true facts. However, it isn't true that plants need organic matter in order to grow into healthy living organisms, and it isn't true that chemical fertilizers poison crops or the soil per se. What the organic farmers overlook is the fact that almost without exception, plants utilize elements for their nutrition only if those elements in the final analysis are in an inorganic state before absorption. So regardless of the form of the fertilizers, when they're placed in the ground, they must first be converted to an inorganic state before the plant takes them in. And this is the essence of the primary difference between plant and animal life on this planet. Plants take in elements in the inorganic form and convert them to an organic form. In an opposite manner, animals must have elements in the organic form in order to carry out their metabolism. Thus, all animal food is organic with the single exception of common table salt, a compound which is currently under considerable medical scrutiny with regard to its role in chronic disease and toxicity implications. Now, at first, water appears to be an exception to the organic requirements of animals, since water is inorganic. However, all water must be bound organically with protein before entering the bloodstream. And nearly half of the human torso is devoted to this process, and it is interesting to note that the inner surfaces of the lungs, which are exposed to oxygen, would stretch over an area as large as a tennis court. Now, contingent on the discussion of organic versus inorganic elements and forms in the distinction between infection and decay that is applicable to the successful practice of medicine, both in diagnosis and treatment. Those bacteria, which are plants, do not ordinarily utilize organic substances upon which they may be living. Instead, the mode of digestion for bacteria is characterized by first breaking down the organic elements into an inorganic form. Now, to accomplish this, the bacteria must have free water with food substances dissolved in it. A product of the bacterium's metabolism then breaks down the organic compounds into simpler substances that can be ingested. If the bacterium is residing and working on a living organism in the form of plant or animal tissue, the breakdown of organic matter is known as infection. If the bacterium's object is dead animal or plant tissue, the breakdown of organic matter is called decay. This distinction between infection and decay is sometimes overlooked by members of the healing profession, and their practice is poorer as a result. Now, when evaluated under botanical facts, the organic hypothesis, which demands that all fertilizers be organic in order to be beneficial, is rendered invalid. The criticism that chemical farming poisons the soil also breaks down under this precise analysis. When overly harsh, this criticism is not without foundation. Although chemical fertilizers do not poison the soil or crops per se, instead, the unwise manner in which they are disproportionately applied to the soil can and does upset the physical and chemical functions of the plant and can produce blocking of nutrients or an imbalance of the elements. So now let us evaluate the points used by the inorganic proponents to substantiate their arguments. It is true that plants can grow through their entire life cycle without organic matter. And it's true that organic matter has no magical properties, that yields are very high for chemical fertilized farms, that the average life expectancy in the United States is statistically higher than in most other countries, that under chemical fertilization our farm production is the highest that it has ever been. But it is not true that plants grown under the present methods using chemical fertilizers are as vital and complete nutritionally as the claims would have us believe. Furthermore, it is absurd to say that the genetic makeup of the plant's seed is more important to nutritional composition than the plant's food in the soil. It is not true that based on average life expectancy, American health is good. But most important, it is not true that supplying a plant with its five or six major elements in the form of a fertilizer is sufficient to produce good and healthy plants. Plants require a great deal more than just five or six elements. Now, this debate between organic and inorganic farmers is then reduced to the point of our chapter. The inorganic farmers are right in practice, but they adhere to a clouded theory. Conversely, the inorganic farmers subscribe to a correct chemical theory, but they are woefully inadequate in their biological practices. An accurate overview would serve to combine the inorganic theory with organic practice to provide all of the necessary elements of nutrition in proper quantities and optimum balance. If we stand back and observe the facts in this debate, the overall truth may present itself more clearly. Now, I think Dr. Murray hit the nail on the head there. We have a debate going on between organic and inorganic. Now, the scripture prescribes an organic format, and it's called the land Sabbath. Nobody practices the land Sabbath, whether they are inorganic chemical farmers or whether they are organic farmers. Nobody is practicing this practice that is prescribed by the designer of the soil and the inventor of the seeds, the creator of the food to start with. It would seem like to me that we should go to the guy that invented the seed, the soil, and the food and ask him, well, what's the proper modality? And he isn't silent on the issue. In fact, he has been, I think he has been more than adequate in his delineation of the problem and the solution. So let me give you some statutes here. They start in Exodus 23, verses 10 and 11. And remember, this doesn't have anything to do with religion, so you farmers can listen in here. We're not discussing religion, not trying to get you to go down the primrose path here and give your heart to Jesus. But there's a scientific reason why this land Sabbath is necessary and imperative, and why when we don't practice this land Sabbath, we wear the soil out. Why, when we leave it open, we send our minerals down to the ocean. And now there's a solution to our problem. We can gather the minerals back up down at the ocean, bring them back up to Iowa. But in the process, we've got to go down to the Gulf Coast and spend a lot of money evaporating the water out of the sea solids. Then we've got to load it on trucks and haul it up 1,000 feet to Iowa and then respread it in the fields. You know, we don't have to do any of that. The soil, when we got to Iowa, was in perfect balance, and it had all of the elements and all of the nutrients that it needed. And had we adhered to this land Sabbath practice given to us here by our Creator, then we would have maintained that soil balance, and we never would have had to go down to the Gulf and mine these sea solids and bring them back, because the land would be producing new minerals once every seventh year, which is the designed function. Then we never would have degenerated into this thing of bad soil, which then required some kind of fertilizer, which then developed into the inorganic chemical fertilizer industry, which fertilizes the soil all right and produces abundant crops that are lacking in the trace elements. So he starts off here in Exodus 23, verses 10 and 11. He says, in 6 years you shall sow the land, and you shall gather in the fruits thereof. But the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie still, that the poor of your people may eat, and what they leave the beasts of the field shall eat. And in like manner you shall deal with your vineyard and with your olive yard. Going on, he says, and the Eternal spoke unto Moses. This is in Leviticus 25, verses 1 through 7, where he says, the Eternal spoke unto Moses on Mount Sinai, saying, you speak unto the children of Israel, and you say to them, when you come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Eternal. 6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. You shall neither sow your field nor prune your vineyard. That which grows of its own accord of your harvest you shall not reap, neither gather the grapes of your vine undressed, because it's a year of rest unto the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you and for your servants and for your maids and for your hired servant and for the stranger that sojourns with you, and for your cattle and for the beasts that are in the land shall all of the increase thereof be meat. And in Deuteronomy 31, verses 9 through 13, Moses wrote this law, and he delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Eternal, and unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all of Israel is come to appear before the Eternal, in the place which he shall choose, you shall read this law before all of Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and your strangers that's within your gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn, and fear the Eternal your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Eternal your God as long as he lives in the land where you go over to the Jordan to possess it. All right, now there's three statutes. And in the three statutes, he gives us an instruction. He says, now you sow your fields and you harvest and you do this for 6 years, but once every 7 year cycle, you let the land rest. Now, religious people think, well, isn't that just special? And the farmers look at that and say, well, that's really stupid. And then the scientists, they look at that and they say, well, there's nothing scientific about it. And you're right. It's not something that you quantify by science. It isn't something that you farmers would necessarily want to do. And it's also tied to a couple of other factors. It's tied to debt release. Once every 7 years, you release all of your debts. If we did that, everybody would be debt-free once every 7 years. God forbid that we'd have everybody free and clear once every 7 years. Now, we couldn't have that going on, could we? Then your bond servants have to be released at the end of 6 years. And then the gleaning law is expanded. All the poor people in the land can go out into the fields and they can harvest that which grows of itself. And it fertilizes the land once every 7 years. Now let me explain this fertilizing process here because it's pretty important to the discussion that we're making. There's a thing called carbolic acid in plants, these green plants. And this carbolic acid is excreted in the root system and it goes into the soil. And it leaches the soil, it leaches the inorganic soil particles. And it actually just dissolves these inorganic rocks and breaks them down so that the plant then, when this nutrient, let's call it iron, for instance, and copper and manganese and so on, which are in the rocks in very small trace amounts, it's leached out and then taken into the plant. And the plant, as Dr. Murray has pointed out here, has to have this inorganic rock in the soil in order for that to metabolize. And so the plant takes it in, adds the carbon atom to it, which makes it organic, and then when you and I eat the carrots and the rutabagas and the cabbage and so on, then our bodies are fed those trace elements and nutrients. Now the reason that this process works is because it's a design. It's engineered. And we observe the process, not knowing how it evolved, as we like to use the term. Evolution is a cop-out. It's an excuse to describe a phenomenon that we don't understand without giving credit to the designer, the engineer, the inventor of it. Now, this carbolic acid then leaches the minerals out of the rock, fills the plant with the nutrients, and then you and I eat the plant, and then we have the nutrients, and then we can't get cancer because we've got an established immune system that's now got the nutrients that it needs to fight the cancer off, or for that matter, all of the other diseases. That's why God told you, and I said, I'll lay none of these diseases upon you that I laid upon the Egyptians. Now, that's a two-edged sword. Number one, there isn't any disease to lay upon us because we're all healthy. And number two, if we don't do this, and just perchance you're not the guy that gets the disease, God says, I'll lay it on you. And he tells us that pretty plainly in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. Now, with that out of the way, let's take a little excursion down the road here of what happens in the practical realm on a farm. Now, since I'm a dairyman, and I've been in the dairy business for many years, and I raise cows, and then I milk my cows, and I ship my milk down the road. Well, when a dairyman locked in on a piece of ground, let's take 160 acres, because that's about the right size for a 100-cow dairy, and the farmer puts his cows out in the field and they eat the grass. Now the grass, remember, is the net sum product of all of the inorganic and organic elements that are in the soil. It isn't quite correct to come to the conclusion that plants do not eat the organic material in the soil, because they do. Then in fact, the organic material in the soil, the thing that makes that 2 feet of topsoil on the land up in Iowa, well, when the buffalo go out and they eat the grass, a cow, a buffalo, a ruminant, a big one, produces about 35 pounds of topsoil per day. Now that's quite a bit, just don't think about it. You took 35 pounds a day times 365 days, that's 12,775 pounds. That's about 6 tons of topsoil. That's just one cow. That's just one buffalo walking around on the plains for hundreds of years. It makes about 6 tons a year of topsoil. Now, if you take a look at the development of topsoil, it develops in the woods, out on the plains, in the natural environment, at the rate of about 1 inch every 90 years. So in about 1,000 years, it'll make about a foot. So when you're looking at topsoil and you ask yourself, well, how long did it take this topsoil to develop? And the answer is 1 inch in 90 years, about 1 foot every 1,000 years, or about every millennium. And one of the best critters for making this topsoil is called the cow, the buffalo, of which here in America we had about 250 million of them wandering around on the plains all over the heartland of America, and they were making 6 tons of topsoil per year. And they do that by eating the grass. It passes through the animal and comes out in the form of manure. Of course, the animal dies, other animals eat it, and then their feces goes into the soil. And then the soil is made up of about 186,000 little critters. It can be microbes, amoeba, spiders, mites, all kinds of little critters, and they all have an important role to play in the balance of the soil, to make a soil balance so that the plants can get all of the nutrients out of the inorganic as well as the organic in the soil. Now it is true, and Dr. Murray points out, you can grow plants without any organic material at all. You can grow them right in a hydroponic atmosphere. But that's a chemical atmosphere, and that's not prescribed anywhere in the scripture. And while it works, doesn't mean that that's what we ought to do. Any more than it is true that all of the minerals that we had leached out of our soil went down the Mississippi River and out into the Gulf of Mexico. It isn't true that we ought to go down to the Gulf of Mexico and evaporate the water, take the sea minerals out, and bring them back to Iowa. That isn't prescribed by God either. Now, it is true that that will work, and it's true that as the penalty that we pay for not having let our land rest one out of every 7 years, that we can go down to the Gulf at great expense now, and we can evaporate the minerals from the water, load it in a truck, and haul it back to Iowa. But let me ask you this. Do you really want to go to all that extra work? Couldn't we come to a better conclusion if we let the land rest once every 7 years? Let me give you some numbers here. Out of 100 years, we would let the land rest 16 years out of 100. It's one every 7 years plus two jubilees. That's 7 and 7 is 14. 7 and a 50 years plus a jubilee, that's 8. And then 7 out of the next jubilee cycle, which would be 49 years, and then the jubilee year, which would be 16 times. That's 16% of our production would be lost. 16%. Well, now, take a look, farmers. Listen up now. Take a look at how much money you're spending on pesticides and chemical fertilizers. And then ask yourself, is it 16% of my gross profit? And I'll just bet you that the amount of money that you're spending there is more than 16%. Now, some years ago, I happened to be up in New York State, and I happened to interview a couple of Jewish farmers. They were in the wine business. They had a winery. Pretty good-sized grapery. Did about $3 to $4 million worth of business a year. And I asked them, since they were Jews, I said, do you practice the land Sabbaths? And one of them said, we've thought about it, and we have concluded that it would be about 50% cheaper for us to practice the land Sabbath. They actually did the arithmetic, which is what I'm doing for you right now. They did the arithmetic and said, we would save about 50% on the amount of fertilization and chemical pesticides that we have to use. Now, we rejected the land Sabbath idea, not because it isn't good religiously, but because it isn't scientific. And he said, when you're making wine, we have a science that goes behind this. We test these grapes to see what their sugar content is. And we can add or subtract the chemicals that we put on to increase or decrease the sugar content to make our grapes come out just the way we want them. And he said it's for that reason that we spend that extra 50% so that we can have better control. I said, is it true that your grapes and your chemical modality is in fact decreasing the organic material in your soil? And he said, yes, it is. And I said, now, when the organic material reaches the tipping point, isn't it true that your land will be sterile and unusable? And he said, yes, that's true. But he said, that's going to be in somebody else's lifetime, not in my lifetime. So like our national debt, we borrow and spend today because we don't have to pay the money back. It's going to be your children or your grandchildren or somebody else. So we can live it up today and let somebody else worry about it tomorrow. It's like mining the water out of the Oglala Aquifer. We don't need to worry about it because it's the next generation that's going to have to pay the piper. We're going to mine it today and consume it upon our lusts. Now, that's good for the short term, but it's not good for the long term. Now, the scripture is written from the point of view of the long term, that it has to be sustainable agriculture and sustainable for thousands of years because there are generations coming in the future. And when you go to the Sahara Desert and you mine it and you turn it into a desert, it's lost permanently. Desertification is beginning to set in Iowa, for crying out loud. Iowa, there's now desertification, signs of desert, turning it into desert. If we keep farming Iowa the way we farmed the Gobi and the Sahara deserts, it will turn into a desert. Is that good? Well, you can say, well, that's not our problem today. That's 100 or 200 years from now. But 100 or 200 years from now, it's going to be a problem to the next two or three generations. Don't you think that maybe we ought to be thinking long term here? Well, while we're doing that, let me give you a reminder here. It's the halfway point in the program that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, and that we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log schedule and archives. All of it can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. And if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, click onto the archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there, georgegordon.org. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements, these recommendations that we give, don't mean that the authors or publications that we endorse are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we are talking about sea energy agriculture. It is a solution to the mineral-starved earth that we have created here by farming incessantly. And then, of course, we've got these chemical farms. Now, these chemicals that we're putting on the soil, the pesticides, they call them chlorinated hydrocarbons. As you know, there's a lot of toxic stuff going on. It has created a 40-cubic-mile dead zone in the Gulf of Mexico. So not only do we have this oil down here, before we had the oil blowout, we had a great big piece of real estate down here that's dead in the ocean to start with because of the chemicals that we're putting on our soil. Nobody talks about that. It's kind of a dirty little secret, and we don't want to admit it. But that's because we're engaged in this chemical agriculture, and the people that produce the chemicals don't want anybody to know about it or do anything about it, and the farmers that depend upon the chemicals don't want to face reality, and they're the same guys that are taking the water out of the aquifer, and they don't want to face reality that the aquifer is going dry, and so everybody's got his head in the sand here. I thought maybe we'd take a good look at this because it's going to impact us in the not-too-distant future. Most of us drawing breath today are going to have to pay this piper pretty shortly. Now, there's a company here that's being advertised in the Acres USA paper, and I thought I'd plug them a little bit here because they actually produce these sea energy minerals. Remember in the previous programs we talked about this, these sea energy minerals are leached off of our land and flow down the rivers and into the oceans. The oceans have plenty of these minerals, and so what we're doing now is we're evaporating the seawater, separating the salt and the minerals, and then trucking those minerals back up here to Iowa and spreading them on the soil. In case you didn't know about that, for those of you that are in the organic business, that is, you're trying to grow fruits and vegetables for people's nutrition as opposed to bins and bushels of foodless food, then this company will probably be the place to go, or one of the companies. They're not the only one. I just happen to pick them out. They happen to be on page 36. And they're called seaagri.com, and it's spelled S-E-A-A-G-R-I, that's all one word, .com, or you can call them direct at 770-361-7003. Again, that's 770-361-7003. That's www.seaagri.com. And they're actually selling these minerals. Now, we need the minerals on the soil, and the place to get them, and that's what I'm going to do, is I'm going to buy a bunch of these minerals and stick on my soil. Because for many, many years, nobody practiced land Sabbaths here. Now, I have. I've done it twice while I've been on this place, and I do it every 7 years, but I would like to give my land a shot in the arm, put the minerals back in, and then I can maintain it by simply practicing the land Sabbaths and Jubilees every 7 and 50 years. Now listen to this. Let me give you some numbers here. Get your pen and paper out, and I'll show you how this process of land Sabbaths works, because there's a thing that we use here in this country called a sabbatical. That's where educators work for 6 years, and then they take a sabbatical. They take a whole year off. Well, the way God designed the agricultural system is based upon this sabbatical. You see, you farmers should be working for 6 years, and then the seventh year, you should pack it in using a portion of your profits for the previous 6 years. This is assuming, of course, that you tithe instead of paying income tax, and that you practice the laws of God so that you can get your blessings, and that you're not in debt, which is a curse. And then take the wife on a sabbatical. Just take off for a whole year. Don't work. Stop. I mean, if the college professors can take a sabbatical, how come farmers can't take a sabbatical? And I want to remind you that the sabbatical system was set up by the creator of the universe for farmers, not for college professors. There's nothing here in the Bible for college professors, but there is something in the Bible for farmers taking the year off. But farmers went to the bankers and borrowed money so that they could buy chemical fertilizers and put on the soil so that they could work 7 years instead of six, so that they could deplete the soil, so that they could stay perpetual credit debt serfs to the bankers. Why do you want to do that? Well, it's the choice that you had to make, and you made it, and so you're buried in debt. You probably can't ever pay off, so you got a problem. But if you haven't done this yet, listen up, and I'll show you how this works. Let's suppose we got 160 acres, and we're in the dairy business, and we're shipping milk. Now, milk weighs 8.6 pounds per gallon. And milk is 90% water, you know, round numbers to exact, but it's about 90%. And it's about 10% solids. So 100 cows produce about 1,000 gallons of milk a day. So that's about 0.86 pounds per gallon times 1,000 gallons a day is 860 pounds a day. So every day when the creamery truck comes up and empties your bulk tank, takes out that 1,000 gallons and drives down the lane, he's hauling 860 pounds of organic material off of your soil. It's leaving your farm. You're mining your farm, and you're taking 860 pounds a day. Now, 860 pounds a day times 365 days is 313,900 pounds a year. Now, if you're hauling off your farm 313,900 pounds a year, that's 157 tons of organic material that's being hauled away. You're mining your soil, and you're selling it. And that creamery check that you're getting every month is to pay you for that 157 tons of organic material that you're selling every year off of your farm. So your farm is being depleted. So whether you're growing corn or soybeans or wheat or whatever it is, you know, every time you haul a truckload away, that's a truckload that you're hauling off of your land, and it's gone forever. And it needs to be replaced. Now, we can haul in fertilizer from ConAgra and replace it. Or we could do it naturally by letting the land rest once every 7 years and letting whatever's there grow up and then die down. And that once every 7 year replacement of the organic material also gives the plants an opportunity to leach out of the inorganic rock in the soil those nutrients that carry it for the next 6 years. It's a natural cycle, a natural process designed by the Creator so that you don't have to spend that 16% a year or go to the extra work. So number one, you get a year off. Number two, you don't have to spend the 16% now on fertilizer. And number three, you don't have to spend any labor applying it. It's a win-win for the farmer and a lose-lose for the petrochemical agricultural industry. But then, you know, petrochemicals were never a part and parcel with the plan of agriculture in the scripture, because agriculture, in reality, is a biological process. It's not an industrial process. Now, we, in our wisdom, being smarter than God, have turned this biological process into an industrial process. And we had to borrow money, just like industry does, and then we had to put on chemicals and sprays and pesticides, and we've got this industrial process in agriculture, and we evidently like it. But it's producing nutritionally deficient food, which produces nutritionally deficient bodies, which then get sick. Then we have to go to doctors to buy drugs. These drugs cost a lot of money, so we need health insurance. And this health insurance now has gotten to a point where it costs $12,000 per family per year, about $2,500 per person. Now, instead of all of us spending $2,500 on sickness and disease, wouldn't we be better served with that money in our pocket taking a trip to Disneyland or a Carnival cruise or something else? Now, if you're a hypochondriac and you just feel real good being sick, then you want to spend your money on health and healthcare and doctors, that's fine. I mean, you got to spend your money doing something. I guess spending it on doctors and hospitals is as good a place to spend it as any. It's just that I like to spend my money on pleasure. You know, I like to have a big screen TV, or like to have a little extra money to buy gas to travel around in the motorhome, or, you know, maybe take a trip here or there, or go spend the money in Six Flags or something, you know, or burning up airplane gas. Hell, I can think of a lot of different ways to spend money other than on doctors and hospitals. All right, now we got we got 157 tons a year that we're shipping out. Now, if you take 157 tons times 6 years, that's 942 tons in each seven-year cycle. So you're taking off of your land. You guys out there with a quarter of a section milking 100 cows. You're shipping out here about 1,000 tons a year, round number. It's round about 1,000 tons. Now, if you went out there and you started loading that up, you know, into a dump truck, let's take 1,000 tons. And then this truck, we'll take a dump truck. Well, this dump truck here hauls about, 18 tons. About 18 tons. So let's divide that. That's 36,000 pounds, you know. Now, let's that's 18,000 pounds per axle. So divided by 18 tons, that would be 55 truckloads per year that you're hauling off of your farm. Or if you had a smaller truck, a 10-ton truck, that's around 100 10-ton trucks that you're hauling off of your farm every year. That's a lot of organic material. Now, you can replace that once every 7 years naturally by just letting the land rest. Now, your cows are producing dirt for you every day, but remember, we're hauling that away every year. Now, there's two ways we can do that. We can go to the Sea Energy program, and we can get these nutrients that we need for our farm out of the sea, or we can produce those nutrients naturally by just letting the land do it for us. Isn't that just special? Now, in this controversy between the organic farmers and the inorganic farmers, no mention is ever made of these land Sabbaths. Now, the way this game is played, let's suppose you got an orchard. You know, you're a peach grower down in Georgia. Very simple, very simple. If you look at your peach tree above ground, imagine the peach tree below ground, because the root system is just about a carbon copy of what you've got above ground. Half your tree is underground. Now, the tree underground is sending out carbolic acid, and it's leaching these minerals. You know, this 1,000 tons has to come from someplace. And it's being converted. You're taking 1,000 tons of rock, of which there doesn't seem to be any end to that, and you're converting that through the photosynthesis process into 1,000 tons of organic material, which is going into the tree, which is going into the fruit. And then once every 7 years, when this fruit matures, it drops on the ground. Just falls on the ground. Now, we're not going to ship any of this away. Your neighbors can come over and pick it. The cows can come in and eat it. The animals can eat it, but we're going to let it fall on the ground. Most of that then will rot around the ground. And it produces food, the sugar in the peaches. It rots into the ground and the worms eat it. And it's just going to feed worms and nematodes and all kinds of critters. Then those worms and nematodes, they're always working on the soil. And then the roots and the plants that are grown in this soil are able to get the nutrients out of it, because those 186,000 critters, we haven't documented everything that all of them do, but we've documented a lot that a lot of them do. And they're making those nutrients available for the plants. Now, it's true you can grow these plants in a totally hydroponic atmosphere or environment. But that doesn't mean that that's good for you. That doesn't mean that just because you can grow them that way, that it's nutritional. Remember that the plan here that God put into motion is to use organics. Now, watch this. Adolf Steinbrom of Fairbanks, Iowa, put the matter into perspective by having samples of corn tested for nutrients that are usually added to commercial feeds. Now, when compared to more than 4,000 samples of hybrid corn tested in 10 Midwest states in a recent year, Steinbrom's open-pollinated corn contained 75% more crude protein, 875% more copper, 345% more iron, 205% more manganese, and the same result was seen in the content of calcium, sodium, manganese, and zinc. In fact, if you check all of the trace elements, you'll find that the open-pollinated seed, which, remember, in Leviticus 19:19, we were told to use, and not to use the hybrid seed. Don't use the GMO seed from Monsanto. Use the open pollinated seed from God. And if you'll do that, you'll get more nutrients. If you'll practice the land Sabbaths, you'll get more nutrients, and you can work 16% less. In fact, it's more than 16%, because you see, in the 6 years, you have to apply all of these chemicals and pesticides and chemical fertilizer. Hey, listen, farmers, you don't need to spend any time spraying or fertilizing. You can spend more time weeding, more time pruning, more time building fence, but you don't have to spend any time. You don't have to spend any money on fertilization. It's all free. And you can take a sabbatical. Take the old lady on a trip on the Carnival cruise, for crying out loud. You don't need to work 7 years. In fact, you're only designed to work 6 out of 7. Now, if you're working, you know, 18 hours a day and 7 days a week and 365 days a year, and you're working 7 years out of 7, hey, listen, you're being overworked here, partner. But then you're the proximate cause of your own injury. Now, somebody should have told you a little something about this. The agricultural school should be telling us about these land Sabbaths They don't. The preachers in Sunday school and church should be teaching you about these land Sabbaths, but they're not. And then of course, your government and the Agricultural Extension Service, they should be teaching about it, but they don't. Now, there's some big businesses, the banks and the chemical companies, they make money off of this, and ultimately government does also, because after all, they're taxing the chemical companies that are turning out the chemical fertilizers and the sprays and the dyes and so on. And government makes a lot of money off of sickness and disease. You know, sickness and disease is the biggest industry in America, taking nearly $2 trillion a year, or about one-seventh. It's pushing right up toward one-seventh of the gross domestic product. Well, my gosh, isn't that just about 1 out of 7 years? Just thought I'd throw that one out there for you. Now, the buffalo, when they were working out on the plains, were making topsoil at the rate of 35 pounds a day. So whenever those buffalo were out there eating that grass, they were actually making dirt. So God, you know, in his design mechanism, has a dirt-making, has a soil, a topsoil-making machine. They're called cows, sheep, goats, and buffalo. And then we came over here, killed all the buffalo off, replaced them with white-faced cattle. We had 250 million buffalo. We now have about 100 million cattle. The buffalo could feed themselves in North Dakota by digging Jerusalem artichokes out of an 11-foot snowdrift in January. And today we have to feed 2 or 3 tons of hay to that same cow, cost $250 a year versus nothing. I don't know why we wanted to replace the buffalo with cattle. The buffalo could feed themselves through the winter. I guess we felt like we had nothing to do in January, February, and March, so we wanted to raise hay so we could spend a lot of time growing hay, working our tails off, sticking it in the barn, and hauling it out of the barn to feed the cows in January, February, and March. Not quite sure why we wanted to do that, but we did. It was a choice that we had to make, and we made it. All right, remember, this is Acres USA. Acres, 1-800-355-5513. That's 1-800-355-5513, Acres USA. It is the voice of eco agriculture in America. Hey, I'm out of time. I've got to give you a final reminder here that you've been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, and that we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. And the Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has a radio log schedule and archives. All of it can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, our time's up. I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.